Good morning and a blessed Easter to all of you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. If you haven't already done so, if you would open the other file that I sent, and you'll be able to participate in the service for this morning. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on His name, He gives the power to become the children of God and has promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. We join in reading responsively Psalm 118. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live, and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. We pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horn of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that taketh away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The readings for this Easter morning, or the first reading for this Easter Sunday, comes from Job chapter 19, beginning with verse 23. Oh, that my words were written! Oh, that they were inscribed in a book! Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever! For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. If you say, how we will pursue him, and the root of the matter is found in him, be afraid of the sword, for wrath brings the punishment of the sword, that you may know there is a judgment. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gradual for this morning: Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. The epistle lesson for this morning is from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning with verse 15. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order: Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ, then comes the end, when he delivers a kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is excepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? Why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are these who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the imperishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Let us join together in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now, a lot of times we talk about these women and how they heard the message of Jesus not being in the tomb anymore because he was raised to life. And sometimes we say, well, you know, they were the first ones to declare the resurrection of Jesus. Well, I'm going to just put that to the test here. Because we're going to look through, for a moment anyway, angel eyes. You know the phrase angel eyes. It's been used as titles for songs like in 46. It was popularized by Ella Fitzgerald and Frank Sinatra, a song called Angel Eyes. And then, we can think of another generation of a ballad that was written with the same name. By the Jeff Healey Band in 1988. Or you can listen to modern country radio and perhaps think of the 2012 song Angel Eyes by the band Love and Theft. And dog lovers will recognize Angel's Eyes as a brand name for products that help clear up tear stains around the eyes of dogs. I feel like I was doing a commercial. But for now, we're going to just shove all that stuff aside here and not talk about any of those kinds of angel eyes. Instead, we're going to talk about those heavenly angels. And heavenly angels have an effect on people. They truly do. Usually it's related to fear. And there was a bit of amazement, astonishment, and fear going on at the tomb on this day. So Mark records for us that the two Marys and Salome, first off, they were shocked to discover that the tomb was open because it's a really, really large stone. I mean, Mark even makes a point of it. He kind of just says it, you know, it's a really large stone. And that's because it was too large for these ladies to move out of the way. But it's open. It's open, and they go up and they look in, and of course they don't find the body of Jesus. But the tomb is anything but empty. Ah, there's an angel in there. And he's sitting in there. And he has good news for the ladies. But first he wants to console them. They're a bit startled. They're a bit afraid. You know, who wouldn't be? I mean, they're at a cemetery. And, you know, just being in a cemetery for some folks can be discomforting. After all, it reminds us that one day we all will be laid to rest in a cemetery someplace. But anyway, the angel says, don't be afraid. That's good news, by the way, in many different ways. But don't be afraid. Common phrase for angels, too, because angel refers to those heavenly angelic beings that God sends with important announcements at times, like to Mary when she found out she was going to be the mother of Jesus, to Joseph to tell him, it's okay, Joseph, don't think badly or anything ill towards Mary. Don't put her away. Don't divorce her, because what's happening here is from God. And then we see other instances also where there is fear. But in this case, the angel, just as in other places, tells the women, don't be afraid. Why? Because you're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, and he ain't here. Do not be alarmed. And go tell the disciples that he will meet them in Galilee. That's pretty good, concrete stuff there. I mean, because Jesus ain't hanging around the cemetery. He's gonna move on, and he's going to go back home, one might say, because that's, after all, where he was from. He also was from Galilee, as were some of the disciples. So he's going to meet them back there. And so the angel, he's the first one to announce the gospel. And it's interesting because the name angel, it means messenger. It's also a word we use when we talk about evangelism. We're talking about the message here, proclaiming the good news. And this angel tells the women that. And they're still, you know, they're a bit still confused. I mean, we're told that. They leave, they're astonished, they're amazed, and a bit bewildered, I would say. So anyway, they're first off, the angel directs them to see with their own eyes that Jesus isn't there, and they get to look around and they see that. He tells them, of course, that he knows they're looking for the one who was crucified. There's no doubt they got the right tomb. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. Anyway, later that afternoon, of course, Jesus would appear to 10 of his disciples, 10 of the future apostles, and prove his identity by showing them the nail and spear scars on his hands and side. And then the following week, Jesus invites doubting Thomas to touch those scars, which turns him into, of course, a very confessing, believing Thomas. My God, my Lord, and my God, he proclaims. And still, you know, much later, even after the ascension, St. Paul would encounter this risen Jesus on the road to Damascus, and then write to the Corinthians, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul characterized his preaching to the Galatians this way. It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. You might be thinking this is Easter. Why are we still so focused on crucifixion? And that's because the cross must always be the center of our theology. It has to be the focal point of life, because that cross and Christ dying on it, the resurrection, that's how life is given to us, true life, spiritual life, you know. Definitely in the epistle lesson for today, Paul had a lot of convincing words concerning the resurrection. So anyway, a God who has not been crucified, I guess that really gets to the point. If Jesus had not been crucified, if he had not died, if he had not been raised to life, first you got to die. But if he had not died, if he had not gone to the cross, then you and I would still be in our sins. We would still be under the law. We would still be guilty of that law, and we could only expect God's wrath. But Jesus goes to that cross, and it is the most precious cross in the world, and that's why it's a symbol of the church. It's why so many Christians wear the cross. Some wear the crucifix with the corpus on the cross, and others prefer an empty cross because it shows the victory. But either one is fine. Either one is great because both of them remind us of an event that took place that happened for you and for me. It is that place, at that cross, that we meet Jesus. We meet our salvation, our Savior. We meet the one who carries our burdens, our sins, and he buries it. I mean, he dies with it, and it's buried in the tomb. One might say that's one thing that didn't come out of the tomb. Jesus did. But the sins he paid for are done. They're paid. And that's the promise. And St. Paul talks about the importance of the cross in his own life. Paul wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And he also wrote, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." But of course, as much as we talk about that crucifixion and we go through this period we call Lent, you know, and it leads up to Holy Week, and we go through the passion of our Lord, it is still essential to always remember that we have this forgiveness made certain by the fact that the tomb was empty. When the women got there, the tomb was empty except for an angel. The angel, though, was a messenger, and they were to become messengers, and they were sent to tell the disciples, tell them he is going ahead of them to Galilee, and they were to meet him there. But Jesus doesn't even wait for them, and he winds up, like I mentioned earlier, appearing to them in that room where they were, you know, hiding, locked doors, and suddenly he's there. And what a glorious day that is, because they see that he is indeed alive and not dead. So that job of telling this good news, this gospel, Jesus passes that on to the apostles. And he tells them to carry this good news that they have beheld, because they have been with him from the start, from the time that he was baptized until his resurrection. They've been with him. They're his witnesses. And they're going to go into the world now, and they're going to be his angels, his messengers. They're not going to strike fear in people's hearts, because they're like you and me. They're flesh and blood. They are people who know their forgiveness and are thankful for Christ and what he has done, and they're willing to even die for that message. In fact, they even talk about that, the hardships that they went through, the suffering that they went through. But they did it, St. Paul said, for your sake. They did it for us, so that we too would believe. And that's so important. That message is so important, because without that message, there's no faith. Without that proclamation, there's no faith. Easter becomes just this thing that happens on Sunday that just involves a chocolate rabbits and Easter eggs and jelly beans and kind of it. you know, oh, new clothes, yeah. But it's more than that. It's more than that because Jesus was raised from the dead, and that was message is one that the angel witnessed, and the angel saw, and he told the women, and the women told the disciples, and the disciples, well, eventually, and the disciples were to carry that message, the apostles were to carry that message into the world, and they were to appoint others as pastors and teachers to carry on being angels for Christ, being those voices that speak that message of his resurrection. How beautiful are the feet, that's what Isaiah said, that carry messages of good news, that good news message. And St. Paul said that too, in referring to that heralding of the gospel. What an important message that is. Because how can you not talk about the most important thing that ever happened in the history of mankind? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, suffered and died, was made alive. Lying in the tomb for 3 days, and on that third day, he comes out. Oh, man, good news. That is awesome news. Because now we know that death cannot hold us because we are his and we are in him. He brought us into himself in our baptism. We were crucified with him. He comes into our hearts. We are filled with his spirit. And we rejoice and we sing because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in our resurrected Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. Let us join in the prayers of the church. Rejoicing in the resurrection of our Lord and sharing in his peace, let us pray to the Lord on behalf of ourselves and all people as they have need. O risen Savior, set free our tongues to confess your resurrection before a world still captive to sin and death. Give us courage to go to every place and to speak in every language the salvation won for us upon the cross and the hope granted to us of life that death cannot overcome. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, make us to burn with the fire of your love, that we may love you above all things and love our neighbors as ourselves. Deliver us from fear and relieve the anxiety of our hearts, that we may live out fully the hope planted within us and the new life we received in the water of our baptism. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, anoint the words of those who preach to us your gospel, and open our ears to hear with faith all that he has done to save us. Raise up many who will serve you in the various callings of your church, and who will serve us in your name with your word and gifts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, hear us on behalf of Donald, our president, our governor, the Congress of the United States, and all state and local elected officials. Guide them according to your word, that their labors for our nation's health and welfare may not be in vain, nor forgetful of the vulnerable, aging, and unemployed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, across our nation so many are in prison, Bless all prison workers, that they may be humane and serve with integrity. Bless those incarcerated with hope for the future and amendment of life. Help them to serve their sentences with patience and trust in you, and bless their families who love them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, hear us on behalf of those who cry to you in any need, especially the sick, the suffering, the disabled, the wounded in spirit, those who suffer mental illness, and those in their last days on earth. Especially we lift up to you from our own prayer list, Lord, Pastor Scott Stallings, Robert Galabias, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, and Weston Swoboda, and Beverly Bernhardt. Give them grace according to their need, and sustain them in their afflictions to the day when their suffering will be exchanged for glory in the life to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, accept the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving from our lips and the tithes and offerings that we send to you. Increase in the hearts of your people delight in your mercy, gratitude for all your benefits, and eagerness to support the mission of your church in word and deed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All praise to you, dear Father in heaven, for you have opened up to us the way to eternal life in the resurrection of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for all those who have gone before us in the faith and now rest from their labors. Keep us in that same faith and embolden us by your resurrection to be fearless in the face of disease, chaos, loneliness, and every sorrow of this world. Give us, with Job, the solemn expectation to cheer us. Our Redeemer lives, and we too shall be resurrected and glorified to live with him in his eternal kingdom. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join in praying the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. 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 Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.